A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Going to end leading the American League in double plays, and he picks up a strikeout number 10 for Framber Valdez. Just like Verlander yesterday, Framber Valdez, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts, and he leads the American League in innings pitched and quality starts. What a year for Framber.
And what a year for the Houston Astros, the second best regular season in franchise history, which they wrapped up yesterday with a 3-2 win against the Philadelphia Phillies. Hello, I am Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show. As the voice guy said, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in or to text in on the HRNP listener line. You can also tweet me at Gallant Says. Sean Mapes is behind the glass at Sean A. Mapes. Sean, good morning. How are you doing on this fine Thursday?
Good morning. Wow, this is the first time we've done this.
Yeah, see, we're trying
check
to
check in with me.
We're trying to make this, you know, a more professional show. You're a part of the show. I need to welcome you into the show.
Well, thank you for welcoming me into the show. It is funny that you asked me how my day is after we just spent, like, I don't know, 30 minutes together in the
Yeah, I don't
want to
ask it in there. No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You want to save the good stuff.
I'm in the zone, okay?
You want to save the good stuff for I'm doing good.
Thank you. Well, listen, some improvisation, you know, a little natural conversation. Mm. What's wrong with that? I know you're Generation Z. I know that sometimes it's difficult for you guys. Maybe I want to put you on the spot every now and then.
I'm a young millennial.
A very young millennial, sure. Okay. That's what you're going to identify as.
Look it up.
Okay, fine. Whatever you got to tell yourself. 1996. The year of our Lord. It is not that. It is 2022. And again, the Astros are moving on into the playoffs with home field advantage throughout the American League. Yesterday, Framber Valdez, as you heard from Todd Callis and Jeff Blum on the call, AT&T Sportsnet Southwest, got his 17th victory. Ryan Stanek set the Astros franchise record for the lowest ERA in a season by a reliever, 1.15. Feeling pretty good for the last 7 years, 100-plus wins, and now it's all about what we have been waiting for agonizingly for basically the last month since the Astros are no longer involved in pennant races, thanks to a American League West. I wanted to know how you guys felt about this, though. I don't know how many folks out there are superstitious. I am one of those people, when I see a no-hitter happening, I like to acknowledge the no-hitter. Because it drives a lot of people crazy. I don't know if it's a bit where they're acting mad about jinxing a no-hitter or if they actually are. Because, of course, there's at least one person out there that's acknowledging it and saying it publicly. But there was a moment during yesterday afternoon's game that, for some, maybe it is bad omen. I don't know. Up to you.
Uh-oh. Step off. I thought the lights were weird.
Now they just quit. Game 162, TK.
The whole day's been off.
It has been.
With the lights.
Yeah, from the moment we showed up, batting practice.
Oh, they're back.
The lights went out. Will the lights go out on the Astros season before they make it to a World Series? I can't say. I do think it is interesting how on a nice weather day like yesterday, you don't open up the roof. Houston has two stadiums with retractable roofs. The roofs never open up, whatever. I'm just wondering, how are you guys feeling going into these playoffs at 713-780-3776? We're all in agreement that the only thing that can beat the Astros in the American League is themselves, right? I don't think any of us are feeling like that nervous about a series against Toronto. I am about George Springer, not so much about the Blue Jays themselves, though the Blue Jays have played well against the Astros this year. The Mariners even less so with some of the issues that they have been having hitting the baseball. So I think cockily we all believe that, yeah, the Astros are the things that can beat themselves the most. So what are the three things to be most concerned about? I know Framber wrapped up the season with arguably the most consistent and unexpectedly consistent season that we've seen from an Astros pitcher in quite some time, at least with the way that he wrapped up the postseason. Right. He had that one great start against the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. But the other four starts in the playoffs, he sucked. 11 and two-thirds innings, 11 earned runs, 5 home runs, 7 walks, 25 hits, and 11 strikeouts. So we're talking about walks and hits per innings pitched in those other games. It's essentially 3 that we saw in those other 4 games that he pitched, including the 2 games in the World Series against the Atlanta Braves, where I feel like you point at him as the reason as to why they lost the World Series. He wasn't good enough. Is he going to be better this time around? Regular season baseball and postseason baseball are completely different things, much to my frustration. I love postseason baseball. Regular season baseball for me, though, has been a bit of a chore. You know, I moved down here in 2011 through 2014. We kind of disavowed it when we were working over at the Texans flagship for all of those years. Rightfully so. It wasn't entertaining. 2015, all of a sudden, things pick up. And you think, okay, maybe they're going to be in a bunch of pennant races over time. And then 2017, they just lapped everybody in the American League West. Other concerns for the Astros, who only could beat themselves in this postseason. My number 2 one going in. And I don't know who's going to actually make the postseason roster for the Astros at this point in time. James Click, I think, has 4 days to determine who is on and who is off the 26-man roster. Will Smith, Phil Maton, your 2 lefty specialists. At least I'm told Phil Maton is a lefty specialist. I know Will Smith, just being a lefty, is a lefty specialist. Do you trust either of those guys for 3 batters? I know Jeremy Branham on the Killer Bees has been very much out when it comes to Will Smith, and I got to agree with him. I also don't feel right about Phil Maton, who allowed a home run to his brother yesterday. Was it one of those League of Their Own deals where, what's-her-face, Dottie allows Sally, I'm just going to use a generic 1940s-sounding name, to slide into home plate and then drops the ball? I can't say. Will Smith is allowing an 854 OPS against righties, 637 against lefties. Phil Maton, 699 OPS against righties, 762 against lefties. I'm not really feeling great about either of those guys out there. I don't really know who your lefty specialist is coming out of the bullpen. It's a little bit of a different baseball world that we live in, given that you have to face at least 3 batters when you come in, but that's my second concern. And number 3, do you trust Jeremy Peña? Do you trust him? Maybe I'm not so far as Chandler Rome, who had an interesting little nugget about him. He did compliment him. Jeremy Peña played 136 games during his rookie season. He took 558 plate appearances, slashing .253, .289, .426, finishing with a 101 OPS plus, and was worth 4.8 BWAR? Holy smokes. I don't know what that means. According to Fangraphs, he led all qualified American League shortstops with 15 defensive runs saved. But he also wrote this. Only 6 qualified major leaguers swung more frequently than him. Peña's 29.6% whiff rate is higher than all but 2 of those 6. He swings and misses at a lot. Is he going to be able to hit not on the same level as Carlos Correa in some of the clutch spots where you saw him excel, but is he going to be dead weight when playoff baseball begins? This is his first go-round. Those are my 3 concerns. Can Framber shake off what happened in the playoffs last year? He's had a great regular season. How do you feel about Will Smith, Phil Maton, your lefty specialists? And do you trust Jeremy Peña? 713-780-3776 if you've got some other thoughts as to things that could ultimately do the Houston Astros in. You can tweet me at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes. You can get after us on Twitch too, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Off the top of your head, Sean Mapes, biggest concern about the Astros going into these postseason?
I would say it's that bullpen, kind of, like you said, the lefty specialist, and because every postseason, and now I feel like I'm a grizzled postseason baseball watcher. Been doing it so long, it feels like. No matter how many people or pitchers you feel good about going into the playoffs, just cut that number like in half by the middle of the ALCS.
It's unfair to relievers, Sean. I never feel good about anyone in the bullpen. I'm always like, this guy's going to screw it up. I have no reason to have those thoughts, because if you look at the statistics, you'll see, oh, wait, that guy's actually good. Take a look at the Astros bullpen. Statistically, damn good. It's been number one in all of the American League and baseball, I think, for the majority of this season. I'm not sure if that's still currently the case, but I remember looking at it every now and then and be like, all right, well, wait, what? Wait, I don't feel good. I don't feel good watching Rafael Montero out there. I don't feel good. Hell, Ryan Pressly gets me a little bit nervous from time to time. Ryan Stanek just had his best season ever. Do I feel 100% confident with that lettuce in the back? I don't know. Perhaps I'm stereotyping on that front. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. RareCandy86 says, aren't these guys in the bullpen because they aren't good enough to be a starter? I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think some guys are good as starters. And some guys are good as bullpen arms. Starters, obviously, you're going to get more opportunities. You can work through some issues. I think, you know, watching that Nolan Ryan documentary that's on Netflix, I think that's what was driving Nolan Ryan crazy when he was with the New York Mets. Didn't have great control, wasn't used that much because he didn't have great control. So, I mean, he wanted more opportunities. And when you're a guy like Nolan Ryan, you take a look at the career that he has. Okay, he was wild from time to time. There are some comparisons to Nuke LaLoose that are made in that documentary. It's very interesting. I enjoyed it. You saw John McClane was in it. Barry Warner was in it. It was nice to see some pals talking about Nolan Ryan. But anyway, back to here. I don't think it's that simple. There are some guys who can come into a game and are like definitively going to be lights out right away. And some guys, it's kind of give or take what you're going to get out of them in the first inning that they pitch. 713-780-3776. Thomas wants to weigh in on the Astros. Thomas, what concerns you most about the Astros now that the regular season is done and the playoffs are about to begin?
Yeah, just so you're just talking about pitching, and then I have Jeremy Pinion comment. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I also don't feel like Justin Verlander has been great in the playoffs. But it's just you rely on your horses to get you through games, get through the struggling at bats, and just get outs, right? And so then you cut your pitching in half, like Sean was saying, and then Jeremy Pinion, I think all the stress is going to be on the other guys, so he just has to energy and try to make it on base. I don't think there's the pressure to hit the game-winning home run or the game-winning hit. So, yeah, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Thomas, appreciate the phone call. Pena does have to hit. You've been getting great performances out of Jose Altuve and Jordan Alvarez of late, so you feel pretty damn good about the lineup going into the postseason. I mean, those two have been raking over the last couple of weeks, so that makes me feel a lot better about anything that maybe Jeremy Pena can't bring into the lineup.
Yeah, Jeremy Pena, he's replacing Carlos Correa like as a shortstop, but as postseason hero, I feel like it's a lot to ask of Jeremy Pena to, like, hey, can you just come up in, like, the biggest moments in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings all the time? Can you do that your first postseason? I think that's more on the guys who have been there before, like the Kyle Tuckers, the Jordan Alvarez, to take that part of the Correa mantle. Now, the Correa defensive mantle, that is on
100%.
Pena to at least live up to, like, 80%.
And he does not make him feel great playing shortstop. I'm not saying he's bad, but he will make errors that Carlos Correa wouldn't.
Yeah, he's not platinum glove or whatever.
Gold glove.
No, but there's something
Silver
above
glove?
It. There's something above the gold glove.
I didn't know that. The diamond glove. Sounds like it would be diamond glove. I don't know. 713-780-3776. I want to double check those Verlander stats to see if James was onto something with that call. Up next, good news. Your Texas A&M Fighting Aggies made the front page of ESPN, and it wasn't for the leaked midnight yell that we played on this station yesterday. Bad news, not for the reasons you'll want if you are an ag or a non-2%er. We'll talk about that next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
First off, to our caller's point about Justin Verlander in the playoffs, definitely not lights out. 31 career appearances for Verlander, of course, with Detroit before coming to the Astros. He is 14-11 with a 3.4 ERA. If you go back to his postseason performance in the World Series against the Nationals the last time that we saw him pitching for the Astros, he was 0-2 with a 5.73 ERA. Not great against Boston. In fact, the only time he's ever been Justin Verlander in the postseason was in the ALCS against the New York Yankees, helping them rally from a 3-2 deficit to ultimately advance to the World Series. So I like that call. 0.56 there, but the rest of his time with the Astros, he has not been super dominant. Hopefully that changes this year, because I don't trust this offense as much as I would in years past. They do leave a lot of guys on base. I mean, they had a ton of hits yesterday, 12. They only had 3 runs to show for it. The other little conversation we had about the award, the best award that you can win as a fielder, RareCandy86 on Twitch.tv said, Challenger Glove, the Master Glove. No, I would prefer it to that. It is the Platinum Glove. So all the Gold Glovers, after they win their Gold Glove, it's up to a fan vote for the American League and National League. And the fans determine who gets it. So Carlos Correa won it last year. I feel like that's an upset, because if it's based off of fan voting entirely, do you think anyone would be voting for Carlos Correa voluntarily?
No, but I wonder when they hold the voting, because it's after last year's playoffs. I feel like that's when people would kind of rally around him, because that became like the, oh, yeah, this guy is so good, and also he might be on my team. So I better pivot my opinion on this
Butter
guy.
Him up, Sean Mapes. Okay, I like that.
But also, I didn't know it was a fan vote, so I take that award so less seriously. I thought it was an actual award.
Yeah, I did too.
Fan voting.
Baseball, man. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Jimbo Fisher's the head coach of the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies. He was on the bench earlier this week and was asked about the team's offense.
And I say play complimentary football. Even when you drive the football and you punt it down to their 8-yard line, get off the field, get the ball back in good field position, you score points. Or finish those drives on offense. I mean, and then when you do get something on defense, you know, we're not playing complimentary to each other. We have to relax and do that.
You know who else used to talk about complimentary football a lot? Bill O'Brien. There's an article up on ESPN. It's on the front page. And it has to do with the Texas A&M Aggies. But I think anyone who has watched the Aggies thus far this year, you've been maybe seeing exactly what you expected. I have a bunch of friends who are Aggie fans, and they're like, yeah, we're an 8-win team. We're just an 8-win team every single year, even with Jimbo Fisher in charge. And there's been some major struggles offensively. And, you know, a game that going into this year, especially after A&M beat Alabama last season, where you're thinking to yourself, ooh, Aggie starting the year ranked 6th? Going to play Nick Saban? After Jimbo Fisher essentially said, I would slap that bleep out of Nick Saban, give or take. Well, now all of a sudden, you got a 3-2 Aggie team that lost to Appalachian State. They've been 11-6 through the last 2 seasons, and they've started each year 6th. And if you take a look at the numbers, ooh, it is bad offensively. And it probably shouldn't be at this point if Jimbo Fisher is to be lauded as this great offensive mind like he was a couple of years back with Florida State and with Jameis Winston. Texas A&M ranks 105th of 131 teams in total offense, writes this piece, 108th in scoring offense, 101st in passing offense, 98th in rushing offense, 96th in first downs, 79th in completion percentage, 115th in time of possession, and dead last, 131st in run plays per game. Plays run per game. My bad. A little dyslexic there. Not good. Obviously, we're seeing it. And whether it's Haynes King, who is terrible, it's unfortunate that Haynes King is probably going to be out there on Saturday against Alabama, given that Max Johnson is slightly better. I know that Jimbo Fisher has also said that, hey, Connor Wigman could potentially be available, but it's been bad. Ross Bjork, Texas A&M's athletic director, was asked about the offense. Look, Jimbo is an offensive innovator. He's always adapted to the style of play. When it's clicking on all cylinders, it works, and it's proven to work. So we just have to keep maturing, keep getting better. And obviously, we're going to keep recruiting at a high level. Well, you might need to recruit a little bit better. Because if you are a UT fan, you might be getting a real kick out of theoretical future Longhorn Jonte Cook, who I believe, the wide receiver, has committed to UT, but you know how things can change in an absolute millisecond when it comes to college football recruits.
Until they actually like are at spring practice or fall practice their freshman year. I don't know.
I agree with you, Sean. The guy could end up at Ohio State for all we know.
Like, he hasn't signed anything.
Exactly. But committed to UT. The guy visited Texas A&M a couple of times, and he's not thrilled with the Aggies' offense. 32nd in the 2023 ESPN Top 300. Here's the difference between Texas and Texas A&M. Right now, Texas has the scheme, but not the players. A&M has the players, but not the scheme. I mean, A&M is running like the wishbone offense. It's cool and all. Is it cool at all? But if Jimbo opened it up, that would be serious. Cook might be a little biased on this front because he has been absolutely roasting the Aggies offense whenever he has had a microphone put in front of him. In fact, this is him roasting the Aggies offense while wearing a Texas A&M Aggies uniform earlier this year.
Emmy, TV show. Big boy Emmy, now stop playing.
What's a sports show? Is in?
It says Texas A&M football, 12 man productions.
Hey, okay.
Jake, this is your trophy.
Nah, I should.
Oh, my bad.
Few moments later.
Still ain't seen no football trophies. I ain't gonna lie, fool.
I said that one incorrectly. That's him wearing just a Texas A&M jersey, though, and walking around Texas A&M's trophy room. They picked up a trophy that was an Emmy for The Pulse, which if you haven't watched, The Pulse is actually pretty damn good. It's a little recap show that they do after every single game. I've watched it a couple of times. Great camera work on it. They do deserve an Emmy for it. But he was going through this trophy room, and he's like, wait a second, where are the football trophies? Where are they at? There was another moment this offseason where Cook was hanging out with, I believe, someone who is a high school teammate of his, another recruit that had committed to Texas A&M, Evan Stewart. And Cook continues to talk about Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies offense.
Hey, he's going to be in that portal, but y'all going to see us on the same team.
Don't let him lie to y'all.
Evan don't want 14 catches, bro. He don't want 14 catches, bro. What you think he had training for to go block?
No way.
Damn. Evan Stewart didn't have a very good comeback for it. But Jonte Cook said, yeah, man, this guy's going to be in the transfer portal. What? He doesn't want 14 catches a game? What is he doing? And I think he's got a point there. You know, and his first name is eluding me, and I apologize. I'm much better with NFL names than I am with college football players' names. But I know that Texas A&M has two awesome players. You have Devon Achain, who has, I think, shown a lot of skill as a running back. And then you have also who suffered the season-ending injury, Aeneas Smith.
Yeah.
Thank you. It took me a second to remember it / Google it. And Aeneas Smith, before he suffered that injury, you would think, okay, with all these skill players, shouldn't the Aggies' offense be good? And it hasn't been. I think this is a major problem, and I think if the Aggies get crushed by an Alabama team that's maybe going to be without Bryce Young on Saturday, I wonder when the people in charge start thinking about ways to potentially minimize the damage of a $50-plus million buyout for Jimbo Fisher. 713-780-3776 to call in. You can text in, too, at that very same number. You can tweet me, at Gallant Says, as well, on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I get the feeling one of the NFL's most disappointing players this year is trying to change the narrative about him, and I see right through it. You will hear that narrative next, but first I got to tell you about my friends at Circa Resort and Casino, and you should be listening to my show, The Wheelhouse, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 all day long for a chance to join us in Vegas for Houston's game against Vegas October 23rd. We're staying at the Circa Resort and Casino. If you've never heard of it, this is a massive sports book in Fremont that has a massive TV setup inside and an even bigger TV setup by the pool outside. It is amazing. And we're going to be out there having fun all weekend, betting on sports, making some money. So make sure that you're tuning into us. We're sending a lucky winner to Vegas to hang out with us. Two tickets to the game airfare, and a stay at Circa Resort and Casino with us. If you don't win, it's okay. You can still join us. What you got to do is book your hotel at Circa using promo code CIRCA975 for a 15% discount. CIRCA975. Got to be listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 all week if you want to have your chance to get to Las Vegas. Only 2 days left, so better keep listening.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We do have some football tonight, though it's not ideal. Thursday night football. Hopefully no one suffers a concussion that's actually a back injury and has a little finger dance that has extra zoomed in cameras from Amazon on those fingers. But it will be the 1-2-1 Indianapolis Colts heading to Denver to take on Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. BUSR.com/ESPN. The Broncos are favored by 3. The Colts will not have stud running back Jonathan Taylor, who probably went first in your fantasy football league. He suffered an ankle injury against Tennessee on Sunday. Shaquille Leonard also will not play tonight for Indianapolis, dealing with a concussion. If there was ever a week for the Broncos offense, now led by Russell Wilson, to figure things out, it's right now. But you might notice that Russell Wilson has a right shoulder injury on the injury report all of a sudden. He is confident he will play tonight. Russell Wilson played with a busted hand last year when he probably should have still been rehabbing it for 22 hours a day, as he talked about. Here is Russell Wilson discussing his shoulder injury before tonight's game.
Doing good, hanging in there. I think, you know, you play a competitive game. You get banged up a couple times here and there. But I'm excited. You know, obviously Thursday night. What a special time. What an opportunity for us.
Are you confident you'll be able to play on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm super confident. Yeah.
What a special time. By the way, your boy is the most hateful person alive. I'm ironically wearing a Let Russ Cook T-shirt. I bought these from BreakingT.com before Russell Wilson had the term Let Russ Cook trademarked. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. Trying to make that money, make that paper. I'm sure that the shirts that he has aren't exactly as good as this one. This is really all I have this year, isn't it? This is rooting for Russell Wilson to fail. Does that make me a sad person? I mean, he annoyed the hell out of me when he was in Seattle. I feel like he is not an authentic person. And I think that this is something you put out because you're struggling. Okay, well, now people are going to understand why I'm struggling. But here's the thing. Russell Wilson, over the course of his career, until last year's hand injury, has been one of the most durable players in the NFL. Is it because he's a thick fella? Is it because he's, you know, got a little bit of acquired mass on him? I'm not saying he's chonk or anything like that. I'm just saying he's a thick fella. But I don't buy into the idea that this injury is what's limiting him. And I'll say this now. If they can't get it together tonight, the Broncos offense, it's not going to happen all year long. This is the night of all nights. In fact, if I were a betting man, and I am, BUSR.com/ESPN to double your deposit today, I would take the Broncos to cover this. 3-point favorites again, BUSR.com/ESPN.
I think the loser of this game is not, like, eliminated, but we just absolutely stop taking them seriously, right?
Well, we don't take the Colts seriously at all, do we?
Hmm?
Do we take the Colts seriously at all?
At least to, like, they're still in the division race.
I think they suck as much as the Texans do, to be perfectly honest,
really?
Sean. Yeah, I think they're a bottom five team. I think that with Ryan right now, I mean, they can't do anything. And now that Jonathan Taylor's injured, who knows how long he's going to be out? Ooh, not looking good.
But, I mean, if they win this game, they're like, and then the Jets lose, they're in first place.
That is true. God, the AFC South sucks. This is what's the worst about the Texans being so frustrating to open the year.
Only a game and a half out.
This division blows. There's not one good quarterback in the division. Not one. I'm not sold on Trevor Lawrence. I wasn't that sold on Trevor Lawrence after everyone's telling me, oh, he's finally arrived. Like, we overreact so much early on in the year. The guy still makes boneheaded decisions. We'll talk about Trevor Lawrence in the 11 o'clock hour. I feel like with Denver, though, you are right, Sean. This is the only way that we will take them seriously going forward, is if they take care of business and do it in a way where they're throwing all over them. It's been 4 games, guys. The preseason is done. Let's go.
Let's ride.
Let's, Jesus.
Okay. Broncos country.
Yep. Nope.
Let's ride.
Nope. By the way, something to keep an eye on. Sean Payton was on a podcast, and he said that he has some ideas on how to get more out of Russell Wilson. I said it a couple weeks ago. Sean Payton, when he returns to coaching, Denver, that might be the place. Some Drew Brees similarities.
I love that Sean Payton like is playing into this, where he's like, I would love to coach Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or whoever I'm rumored to next. I would love to coach him.
I don't know why you would leave retirement. I mean,
ever.
No. I mean, Tom Brady left retirement. His wife leaves him, slash they got divorced. Cole Beasley, who was a martyr of the alternative...
He's a voice for the voiceless.
The voice for the voiceless, Cole Beasley. You know what? I don't want to besmirch him too much because I do think he got railroaded entirely. But Cole Beasley, like, could have had endorsement opportunities for years from those who are like, yeah, the vaccine is BS. And instead, he comes back into the game. Clearly, he's not being blackballed, and then he just retired yesterday. He's done.
Do you think he saw Tom Brady get divorced, and he's like, because he said he wants to spend more time with his family.
Maybe that was it.
He was like, oh.
Gotta spend time.
Yeah, don't want to end up like old TB12 over here.
He shouldn't have come back. He would have had speaking opportunities for the rest of his life. I'm serious on that front. Like, I'm not even making fun of it. Yeah, seriously. I mean, Enos Kanter's not a very good basketball player, but I mean, he can't even play in the playoffs.
He was out of the league like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Thank you for saying his correct name, Freedom.
Yes.
What else do we have around the NFL? Remember when Bobby Wagner lit up that fan who was streaking on the field and claims that he was a protester, even though he had a pink canister and it looked like a gender reveal? Well, that guy is suing Bobby Wagner. Here is Bobby Wagner's reaction to hearing that news.
It's behind me. Ain't really focused on it. You know, I'm more concerned about the security guard that was hurt trying to chase him and the people that was, we don't know what that is, and you just got to do what you got to do. I mean, you just never know. You never know. Like, people just run on the field for no reason sometimes. And again, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to keep happening, but you never know what that person is. They got in their pocket, their hands, their whatever, kind of like what I said, you know, after the game. And so there's consequences for your actions.
Maybe Bobby Wagner has a career in TSA when we're done, you know, stopping people from passing through with weapons. That was interesting. You never know if they're going to have a knife or a gun. What's that movie? Is it the Last Boy Scout where there's a football player who just pulls out a gun in the middle of a touchdown run and just smokes like six or seven other players on the field? I mean, Bobby Wagner might have saved us from greater harm. But yeah, this guy is suing. Welcome to America. I mean, what if he had been tackled by security, it would have been okay. He might win, too. I imagine that he's got a claim. But, like, what are you doing trespassing? I feel like in most places, if you were to trespass and someone takes you out, that it would be totally smiled upon. Texas, Florida, is it because it took place in lefty-leaning California that maybe this guy has a case?
I was going to say, is it a stand your ground case? Oh, no, he was a road team, so they're both visitors.
But they're both in California. It's the 49ers and it's the Rams. Yeah. It was in San Francisco, right?
Santa Clara.
I mean, yeah, this guy probably has a case. When I was up in Seattle, there was a person who broke in to a nearby apartment, climbed in the balcony with an axe, and was going to smoke the guy inside who pulled a gun on him. And I believe police afterwards said, like, well, this is a dispute that had he fired the gun to defend himself, he actually would have been arrested. Like, unless the guy made an advance towards him. So, like, him just being on the balcony with an axe, that wasn't enough. And by the way, the guy got released. Like, didn't even need bail. Oh, he's crazy. Let's let him out. I don't know. Talking politics here. Politics. 713-780-3776. We have one last thing to get to. Where the hell is Odell Beckham Jr. going to be this season? Von Miller, now, of course, with the Buffalo Bills, had a cryptic comment where he says he knows where OBJ is going to end up.
He's still on Super Bowl tour. He's done just about everything in this league. Like, you want to go around and you want to get the love, but just me personally, I like the way I like to think. Like, I think when it's time to, you know, start, you know, chopping the block, and I think when it's time to, like, get down to business, like, we already know where he's going to be at. We know. Just in my eyes, I think I know where he's going to be at.
It's got to be the Rams. who look completely listless on offense. I suppose that Buffalo might be a possibility, too. That's a team that had talked to him. But can you imagine Odell Beckham Jr. being in Buffalo? I just can't. I think that the Rams were a very natural fit for him. He has a locker in that team. He has a locker in that team's locker room, even though he's not even on the roster. I feel like it's L.A., and it's nowhere else. That guy is a show pony, and show ponies want to be where the lights are.
That is funny. I wish we could just see, like, a reality show of Odell Beckham, like, having to get an apartment in Buffalo. Just being like, so, what is there to do around here? They're like, eh.
We got
wings?
A couple of wings restaurants within walking distance.
What's the Instagram model scene like?
There might be some thoughts out there.
I mean, they're everywhere, but,
right?
But compared to LA,
I don't know though. That's true. I mean, in LA, it's
and
it's
also
ridiculous.
If you're in Buffalo, if you're an Instagram shouty in Buffalo, why don't you just go to New York City?
Yes,
it's right there. Like, I feel like this talent gets siphoned.
That is a good point. Although, I will say this about Syracuse University, the Harvard of New York. Very talented, if you get my drift.
I 100% get your drift.
Very talented, especially if you like women of an Italian persuasion or Jewish persuasion. Just saying. For some people, that's their type.
Is this a recruiting pitch right now?
Come to Syracuse. We're going to look the other way when Jim Boeheim does things. It's fine. The basketball team used to win.
He's almost retired, all right?
Yeah, he should retire. I'm sick of Boeheim. 713-780-3776. The internet told me that yesterday we witnessed the greatest moment in sports television history. Do we actually buy it? You will hear and get to determine for yourself. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. You got to listen up and grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver you big savings. And you won't even have to talk to an agent to get them. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, and maybe you don't want to shop around for better rates because it's a huge hassle, but it's not a hassle anymore. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they've built a new system that instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. You'll probably save a bunch of money. Take your phone out right now and text the word money. MONEY to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. Send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating, nearly perfect, and the average customer from last year is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. One more time. Text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
And innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Do you have any thoughts? They could be random. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Tweet at Gallant says, at Sean A. Mapes, twitch.tv/ESPN975. To watch the show, to listen to the show, and join in on a weird conversation right now about the TV shows that the gang is watching these days. Here are the TV shows that I'm watching right now. Number one, House of the Dragon. Last episode, not thrilled with it, but for the most part, it's been good this season. Number two, Ring of Power. That's on Amazon Prime. Got a lot of, I don't know about this one going into it. I thought the last episode ruled, especially the very end of it. And then the other show I'm watching, Andor, Disney Prime. Your boy's a nerd. Yep. Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, all my cup of tea. Andor's been pretty good, too. I think it's been better than Obi-Wan. So there you go. Paul Gallant on TV. Sean Mapes.
I've also been watching House of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football.
Hell yeah.
Sunday Night Football, the Red Zone,
yeah.
College Game Day, football.
So just football.
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 Unlike
football,
this nerd
football.
Hosting the show.
Ho, hey.
Sorry, I like sports.
Easy.
Watch Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson.
Hey, Four Eyes, okay? Let's not call people nerds. That was nice. Not nice. Not nice. Sorry. I feel bad now.
Nah, it's all right.
I'm going to go to hell. My Catholic guilt is checking in.
Nah, just talk to your priest about that. You have a lot to confess for, Paul.
Oh, I definitely do. It's been a while. It's been a while. Some of the things that you must have had to confess about back in the day, too. I had impure thoughts. And then all of a sudden, that those impure thoughts would probably be relayed to the person who you had the impure thoughts about.
Have you ever actually done, like, I assume you've done confession before.
Used to do it once a month.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I only did it, like, when they made me at school.
That's why. Yeah. It was,
oh, okay.
I went to a
they
Catholic
didn't make
school.
Us do it that often.
Yeah. Yeah. It was once a month. We went to Mass every Tuesday, and we had I went to Mass on Sunday, too. It's awful. Then I had to go to, like, CCD, and I was the only person. I knew everything that was being taught in CCD before getting confirmed, so I'm just sitting there, like, wanting to blow my brains out while a bunch of the hoodlums from the public schools in Hanover, Massachusetts, these savages were, like, running around and, like, pulling their schmenzers out and, like, rubbing it all over the walls. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. Anyway, guys, yesterday it happened. The greatest moment in sports television history, or at least I was told. By a lot of people who tweeted about it. It was a conversation in a room with Laura Rutledge, sup. Also, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, and eventually, Mina Kimes. It sounded like this.
When you get a shotgun, it's only a few things they do. Yeah. Look at the back deck. It's the back on the side of it. And even in protection, I tell y'all this all the time. When the back is set up.
What is it with television shows that have to put the music on in the background when people are talking? Does it make it sound better? And I think for listening on the radio, too, every now and then to have a little musical flavor in the background of a segment, it definitely adds something to it.
Adds a little pep to it.
But if you're on TV, it's like, wow, wow, wow.
That one is especially distracting.
Yeah, it's borderline porno music. Anyway, here is the greatest television segment in sports broadcasting
history.
Football
porn.
Football porn. You are right, Sean. It is football porn. Here is that segment continued.
When the back is set away, usually in shotgun, we know what the protection is.
So I used to always have these conversations with offensive linemen. And when we were in under center in comparison to in the gun, they would always say that their ability to sell the run was so much more realistic because they could just fire off the football.
Yep.
The ability for a quarterback, like when I'm under center and I'm running play action for people at home, you know, like when I take the snap, I literally get to hide the football.
We don't
from
see
you.
It. Yep.
Right. You have no
Even
idea
when I run out
whether
the back
I'm
of the
actually handing off or not. We're in the gun. It's just catch. And I flash the ball. You guys all still see the football on defense, you know?
Well, it's not necessarily even about what we see. It's about what we can anticipate. And Marcus mentioned how the playbook is so condensed once you guys are in shotgun.
Condensed.
It also allows me to relax. It also allows me not to react to every single thing. When you're under center, you have so much you can do and so much looks the same.
Yeah.
I will give him Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, and eventually Mina Kimes a lot of credit for this part of it. It was a very nuanced conversation about the perspective of players at every single level of a football field leading up to a play. And it was discussing, hey, what you see when you're lined up under center versus in the shotgun and what you see on a play action fake versus on a just direct drop back. It was actually pretty interesting from a do you want to learn about football kind of perspective. But here's my question. As I saw millions of people retweeting this and saying, don't you love watching sports talk where two people aren't yelling at one another? Do you really love that? Do you want to sit back for 9 minutes and learn something? Serious question. I'm not being sarcastic here at all. Do you actually want to learn something new when you are hearing people talk about sports? Or do you want to keep it cash? Do you actually want that in-depth breakdown analysis and to learn something, or do you want to stick to your 5-second convictions? I'm not convinced that while everybody thought that this was one of the greatest sports broadcasting moments ever, I'm not convinced that the average person who watches this wants to see those things. We all like to think of ourselves as wanting to be more intelligent, more smart, but I think today we want to get information 5 seconds, done. We don't want to go that far, and we are sometimes, I think, more partial to the show business side of talking about these things. I know I am. at least that's what I'm drawn to, compared to a very detailed and nuanced conversation about the intricates of a sport. Sean?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the ratings and, like, First Take is the most watched show on
somehow
ESPN that's not a football game.
Right. Like, just two people yelling at each other.
Yeah, literally what everyone is like, isn't this so much better than two people yelling? Well, I feel like
I guess
the numbers have decided that, yeah, actually, we want to be entertained. We like Stephen A. and Mad Dog Russo just doing wrestling characters of, I believe the 1940s players were the best. I believe the current guys are the best. Aaron Rodgers, you can't win with them. And just, like you said, the 5-second, like, oh, yeah, this is good stuff. Other than, you know, watching 9 minutes of Dan Orlovsky tell me about ball placement.
The barbershop scene in Coming to America is what we like.
That's how everyone talks about sports in their life.
It really is. We have gone in a direction where everyone is trying to be the smartest person in the room, including people that actually haven't played the sport. I've gotten to a point where I admit what I don't know. There's no point in acting like, for example, talking about boxing or talking about fighting. I don't know a damn thing about it. Will I watch it occasionally? Yeah, sure. But everyone now is trying, I think a lot of people have gone in this direction of trying to just be so much smarter than everybody else. And while I liked hearing these three guys share their perspectives on what they see on a football field and all of those things, I do at the end of the day think that we generally only want to dissect the surface level of something as opposed to going deep down a rabbit hole and learning every single intricate detail.
Like, this is very good and interesting, but know what else is, like, way better and entertains me a lot more?
What's that?
Is Inside the NBA with Charles, yeah. Kenny, and
right.
Chuck. Like,
this is supposed to not be serious. This is the escape. Sorry, I don't. Every now and then, I do want to learn something new about the sports that I cover.
But not a 9-minute clip on Twitter of it.
Right. If I were out of this game entirely, Sean, like, I enjoy it because I'm in the industry and I want to be a little bit smarter about the things that I talk about. And maybe that's why so many people that I follow on Twitter are like, this is the greatest segment ever. But I think for the most part, like, when you hear people talking about sports, you kind of want to hear people going after each other and arguing with each other, because that's what you would be doing with a friend, you know? Anyway, that was the greatest segment in sports broadcasting history. So, congratulations, ESPN. Congratulations. Sean, why are you smiling? Congratulations. Thank you. A little extra applause there. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I have a question for you. I love playoff baseball. I don't really like regular season baseball. I hate that that is where I am now. But how do we make the regular season have even remotely similar vibes to the playoffs? I have a couple of theories as to how. I want some help from you guys, though. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Don't go anywhere.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.